Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we're going to look here at just a few verses at the conclusion of the chapter. This is Moses speaking to the children of Israel, and it's a remarkable passage, and it begins with remarkable words, verses 20 through 25 of Deuteronomy chapter 6. When your son asks you in time to come, what is the meaning of the testimonies and the statutes and the rules that the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and grievous, against Egypt and against Pharaoh and all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from there that he might bring us in and give us the land that he swore to give to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as we are this day. And it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to do all this commandment before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us. You know, you look at this passage and we are reminded of something that is so simple we might miss it. There is no future for God's people if there are no sons. And of course, we mean sons and daughters. But we speak of this passage because Israel is speaking to Israel. God is speaking to Israel through Moses the prophet. And Moses says there's going to come a day, there better come a day, when your son asks you, what is the meaning of all this? What is the meaning of the statutes and the commandments and the laws? But you know, for Christians, we understand it's even more than that. It's, what is the meaning of all this? What is the purpose? What is the point? What is all this about? Why do we have to live differently than everyone else lives? In the conference here, we've been talking about being steadfast in the faith and having a transformative effect even in the society. We've spoken about the things that are required for conviction to be continued, not conformed to this world, and what it means to stand in the biblical command and admonition that we are to stand, and at the end, to be found standing. This is an intergenerational challenge, and that's what I want to leave with you today. This is not just about you, okay? So here's the bad news. It's good news. Well, it's a little bit of both. It's not just about you. And because all too soon, you're not going to be sitting here. In the span of biblical history, in the span of human history, it's a short amount of time. It's a blink of an eye. We're not thinking rightly, and we're not living faithfully, and we're not thinking as Christians unless we are very, very concerned, as you saw a picture of even today in faithfulness. And we're not very, very concerned about who's going to be sitting here a generation from now. 2, 3, 4, 5, as the Lord tarries. It's a fascinating thing. You know, here the marker that Moses uses is when your son asks you, what does this mean? Because that's also a reminder. Number one, you have to have sons and daughters or there is no future. Christianity becomes just one giant retirement community. And just think of the absolute tragedy in that. Dead churches never have to call for more volunteers in the nursery. Live churches invest massively, not only in children and in teenagers and young people, but in their parents who are carrying the heavy freight and doing the covenant work in this generation. But the second thing this has to assume is that there's a reason why the son would ask, what does all this mean? You know, we haven't done something wrong when our son asks, what does all this mean? We're actually just to be ready with an answer, to give our son the answer. This is what this means. Because Moses says, look, I'm going to tell you, your son's going to ask this question in time to come if you're faithful. But if you're faithful, you're going to know the answer. And the answer is this. What is the meaning of all this? Why do we have to live this way? Why these laws, these commandments, these statutes? It's easy to understand, son. Because we were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt. And God brought us out of Egypt with his outstretched arm and his mighty hand. And he brought us to this place in order that we would have this land, in order that we would live by his law and be his people and show his glory. The very same thing comes one generation later when in Joshua chapter 4, the children of Israel are on the other side of the Jordan, having crossed over. And you'll remember that one man from every tribe went to get a memorial stone and to put it up. And then Joshua said, when your son asks you in time to come, what is the meaning of these stones? Guess what? It's the same answer. We were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt. And God brought us out by his outstretched arm and his mighty hand. He brought us out in order that he might bring us into this land of promise. And he will bless us always if we obey him. You know, you look back to a biblical perspective and you understand the promise that was given to Abraham was not just given to Abraham. It was Abraham and his descendants, and they were promised to be more numerous than all the grains of sand on the sea. We wouldn't talk about Abraham except for the fact that Abraham was a patriarch, the father of a great nation. But the same thing is true for the church. I want us to think about how we perpetuate the faith so that when our son asks us in time to come, what is the meaning of all of this? We give an answer. And frankly, we're not waiting for him to ask the question. Are we clear on that? So this is sort of like, you know, this is what happens in the teaching of a catechism. You ask the question, but you give the answer. And you dignify the question, and you want to be the one your son asks, what is the meaning of all of this? But you don't want him to have heard that answer for the first time. No, this has been drilled into his heart, and our sons and daughters drilled into their hearts. They have heard this from the time they were infants. What do they need to hear? Just three things that we can think about today, just in the succession of God working with his people, because that's what this text is all about. Number one, the covenant of creation. We need to raise our children. If there is to be a future for the Christian church, it's because we raise our children with the knowledge of the covenant of creation, and we make very clear that everything is staked on one true and living God, who is the maker of heaven and earth. Everything in our worldview, all the truth we know, starts with the existence of the one true and living God who created the cosmos as the theater of his glory and who structured the entire cosmos right down to the smallest atom and molecule, who did it for his glory and did it by his power. He said, let there be light, and there was light. And then he said, let us make man in our image. And you realize in the covenant of creation how much clarity is given us. And remember, the covenant of creation, all human beings are included in this. All human beings are given the grace of the covenant of creation. They live in this world which God made for our good and for his glory. They enjoy the fruit of the field. They enjoy the warmth of the family. And every single successive generation, every single successful civilization has found a way to honoring the covenant of marriage, to understanding the most basic reality that God made human beings in his image, male and female, created he them. If you start with the covenant of creation, an awful lot is clarified immediately and clarified for all people. The dignity and sanctity of human life, the sovereignty of God, the glory of God in creation, all that is made clear in that first covenant of our consideration. We need to raise our children in the knowledge of creation order. We need to raise our children, and we need to teach every successive generation how to be grounded in the primary truth that God is, and that He created all things, and that He made us, and that He commanded us. The second covenant we could think about is exactly what's referenced here. It's the covenant God made with Israel. And the covenant God made with Israel was a covenant that produced a people, just as He had promised to Abraham, descendants more numerous than the grain of sands on the shore. But Israel wasn't primarily to be known as a people who were just set apart in some ethnic way. They were set apart because they were God's holy people. They were His personal possession. It was to Israel that God gave this covenant, that God gave the laws and the commandments and the statutes. God said to Israel, "You know how you know you're my people? It's because I gave you these perfect laws. You want to know how you know you're my people? It's because otherwise you wouldn't exist. You want to know why you're my people? Because you would even now be slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt. You want to know why you're my people? Because if you weren't my people, by now you would have been wiped off the face of the earth." Do you feel like that's a contemporary issue? God said to Israel, "No, you are my people because you're going to survive because I'm going to see to it. You're my people, and I'm going to show my glory by giving you these laws." And this is why, while a lot of Christians are confused about this, God bless you here at Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church and in your denomination and in the theological tradition that we share. In the Reformed tradition, we're unconfused about this. A lot of Christians out there are absolutely confused about this. We're not confused about this. That's why, without hesitation, we teach our children what is to be learned from the covenant of old. What is to be learned from God's covenant that He made with Israel? We are not saved by this covenant. But we are instructed by this covenant. We are encouraged by this covenant. And as the Apostle Paul tells us, we're grafted onto the promises of this covenant so that when we read this text in Deuteronomy chapter 6, we don't just celebrate the fact that God saved Israel from bondage to Pharaoh in Egypt. Brothers and sisters, this means that that is our story too. We were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt. But God brought us out by His mighty hand and His outstretched arm. But you know, still, we're not saved. We're not saved. Not until the covenant of redemption. So the covenant of creation gives common grace, truth, goodness flourishing, the glory of God to all peoples everywhere. And it comes with specific knowledge, including knowledge as basic as marriage, as basic as the dominion commandment, as basic as male and female. It's all in there, but it's not enough. We also know the covenant that God made with Israel, and of that we are instructed, right down to the commandments and the statutes, right down to the law of God, right down to learning from Israel's worship. But we are under a different covenant. What in the book of Hebrews is called a new and better covenant. A covenant enacted on better promises. The covenant of redemption, which was purchased for us through the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a covenant that promises eternal salvation. It is the blood of the everlasting covenant. And that's why, at the conclusion of this service, we will share together communion. It's not going to be a sacrifice of an animal, as was true with the covenant God gave to Israel. The covenant of old. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left its crimson blot. He washed me white as snow. So we as Christians, seeking to be faithful to what Moses here is speaking to the children of Israel, wanting to be ready to give an answer when our son asks us in time to come, what is the meaning of all of this? We say, okay, son, Let's just make the point clear. My greatest privilege is to tell you, here's the meaning of these things. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him might not perish but have everlasting life. Here's the meaning of these things. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. Here's the meaning of these things. Even as Israel was given the law of God, the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, and an entire system of statutes and commandments and ordinances, we've been given the law of Christ. And we are to live by the holy law of Christ. Even as Israel was known as God's personal possession, his purchased people, now through the blood of the everlasting covenant, we are forevermore God's people. And now we are to live faithful lives. To live faithful lives, you've got to be grounded in Christian truth. You've got to be grounded in Christian doctrine. You've got to be grounded in the power of the gospel. And you have to be grounded in a story. You have to be grounded in the fact that we belong to the one true and living God because he made us, as the covenant of creation makes very clear. He teaches us, even in our sinful state, as God made clear in the covenant with Israel and in the covenant of redemption. He redeems us by the blood of the Lamb. That's who we are. We're the people bought with a price, the price of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're the people transformed by the gospel. We are the people who are given the law of Christ and all the teachings of the apostles. As Israel was told to stay in the commandments that God had given to Moses, so also the church is to continue in the apostles' doctrine. You catching a parallelism here? It's a symmetry. It's actually very easy to remember. When our son or our daughter asks us in time to come, what is the meaning of these statues? What is the meaning of these stones? We're to be ready to give an answer that brings together eternity, past, in our experience, and future and promise, that brings together the past, the present, and the future, from creation to Israel to the church. And you know, it has to do with something as tangible as asking, why does our family have to live differently than other families? Or the question asked by every middle schooler on planet Earth, why do I have to live by these rules when my friends don't? Or why am I there here on Sunday rather than somewhere else? Or why do I go through all of this? And it's because, first of all, as my Southern Baptist father said, because I said so. All right? But secondly, that's not all he said. In his own way, he said, because we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt. That's why. And it's not only about your family, it's about this church. And you know, there's an unusual sense in which I can just say, look around you. Look above. Look around. Think of what happens when you drive down Federal Highway. It's not an accident. Not an accident. Have you thought about this? The right question to ask is, what is the meaning of all this? Why would you do that? Think of all the other things that could have been done with that property. Why this? Why all this? When your son asks you, you answer him, we were once slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, but God brought us out by his outstretched arm and his mighty hand. But it's more than that. It's because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And Christ said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And we do what we do every Lord's Day and in the days in between. We live as we live, and we give as we give, and we pray as we pray. Because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. past, present, and future all coming together. There is nothing more biblical than this. There is nothing more structural to the covenant than this. God's faithfulness in the past, God's faithfulness in the present, God's faithfulness in the future. It makes me so happy to be here because I know of God's faithfulness in the past here. Mary and I are so thrilled to see you today and to know this church now because we see God's faithfulness right now in the present. And I just want to encourage you to do whatever it takes to make certain of God's people here demonstrating faithfulness in the future. It's not enough to raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Do it, but it's not enough. It's got to be a faith that is transmitted from your children to your grandchildren, from your grandchildren to your great-grandchildren, until Jesus comes. That's all. That's the only assignment with which I leave you today. If you are not yet a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we proclaim the gospel to you that salvation is found in the name of Jesus Christ, and in Jesus Christ, you come to faith in him. He who died on the cross in your place and was raised on the third day, you come to him by faith and all your sins are forgiven. And not only that, you become a part of this so that this story, which may sound alien to you right now, would become your story as well. As you were saved out of captivity to sin by God's outstretched arm and his mighty hand through the blood of Christ. But to Christ's people, to Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church, and to any faithful gospel church, whoever hears my voice in these words, your task is to make certain that there is a perpetuation of godly ministry and truth and preaching in such a way that if the Lord tarries, your great, 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 great grandchildren, and I just run out of time, are found faithful as Christians, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, doing the same thing then that we're doing now until Jesus comes and all is well. Let's pray together. Father, we are so thankful for all you have given us in your word. We're so thankful for the succession of covenants demonstrated in your word. So thankful for the pattern of faithfulness. Father, thank you for giving us sons and daughters, even as we have seen today in the faith. And Father, thank you that in the new covenant people, all of us are brothers, all of us are sisters, and even the one who has no child of the body has spiritual children. And Father, we pray for faithful Christians who have spiritual children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, even as every young person in this church has spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers. Father, it would all be to your glory and to the everlasting praise of your name, age to age, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.